Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Hey, welcome to Better on Draft, episode number one of While Ken's Away. I'm your host, Dan. Been a while since I started one of these for us. Actually, been probably 5 or 6 years at this point. Got two of our other hosts here. As you'll see, Ken is not here. We'll start with Rob. How's it going? What are you drinking?
Hi, I am drinking a raspberry tart from New Glarus. Oh, is a beautiful red color.
Excellent. Do you get New Glarus in Indiana? I didn't think they were outside of Wisconsin.
No, we did a road trip back in November. My buddies and I drove up to straight to New Glarus and then stayed overnight and then did the Mustard Museum the next day.
The Mustard Museum. I'll tell you what, Wendy, I think you were with us. We had New Glarus on the show probably 2 years ago. I swear that guy was on AOL dial-up with like a CTR monitor and everything. It was absolutely amazing. Wendy, what are you drinking?
I have a Old Nation Boss Tweed tonight.
All right. And now that I've made it back to Hawaii, I'm being the basic bitch here. You can't see it, but I have got a Voodoo Ranger from the ABC store across the street. Happy Saturday or Friday afternoon.
Just the regular old Voodoo Ranger?
It's 2 o'clock. If I was going to drink anything else, it'd be the 9% one, but I don't want to go to bed at 6. I already slept like 8 hours yesterday afternoon after getting here. So got to take it easy for the moment. Now, Wendy, you had something you wanted to start this episode of When Ken's Away off with. Tell us what you wanted to do.
Well, I'm working on starting a new series for us called Hop, Skip, and a Pint, which basically covers all of our travel. So I thought today would be a good one to talk about the brew buses and stuff that we have been on. I think that that's a good way to hit quite a few breweries when you're in a town. It's a really good way for people who are new to the beer world to get their feet wet in a bunch of different places in a safe manner. So I'm sure that all of us have a beer bus or a beer trail story that we can talk about. So I thought we would start with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to go out here, and you guys are going to be surprised by this. I have never been on a beer-specific bus or tour. Have I been to a million places with a million breweries? Yeah, but I've never been on an organized tour, so I'm really interested to hear your stories to see what it's like, and then I'll tell you what I've done out here as far as these type of, you know, beer trails and that sort of thing. So, Rob, let's start with you. You're new to the show. I know we've heard a lot of experiences, you know, from what some of us who've been around have done. So tell us a bit about what you have.
So I will tell you about our most storyful beer bus would have been, I think, a swimming group. So I was a meet director for the local swim club for a while and got to know a lot of the adult parents, and some of them like beer. And so I would put together a beer bus and we would all get, you know, a chance to get away from the pool and hang out together. But this beer bus started at Mashcraft Brewing down in Greenwood, which is just south of Indianapolis. Just south of Indianapolis. And it's a good brewery. They are known for, they're known for a few things, but I know them for, they have a stout called, I'm pretty sure it's called the Deep, which they, well, when I, so I used to have a better hookup to get beer from there. And it would release in November, and then every week they would release a new variant. But the beer bus started there, and it was really fun. There were probably 12 of us on the bus. And this one, we were particularly doing a Southside beer tour. So that was our first stop. Our next stop was considerably south of there, a brewery called Quaffon. And it should be about a 30-minute drive at the most. But as we were driving along, we discovered that the bridge was out, the one bridge that we needed over some goodly little creek that had gotten washed away in a recent storm. And so I don't know how familiar you are with Southern Indiana, but we were getting down into, this is kind of near the Nashville area. So it's getting into where there's actually hills and stuff, and not cell towers. And so we were driving along. One person had a signal, part of a signal anyway. And so he was mapping us a route to get to Coiffon. When we finally got there, it turned out it was the first time that they had had anyone into their new facility. So they just opened up this beautiful, gigantic new facility. I'd been to their old one before. And so I'm pretty sure it was the head brewer was there, but he was greeting us, showing us around. He was super excited to show off all of his equipment and stuff. I had a coupon because of some group that I was in. You get annual coupons, and so I get a free pint glass there. But because this place had just set up and it wasn't actually open for business, he had no way to like ring me up a pint glass or anything. So he just gave me a pint glass. And so I still had that coupon afterward.
Heck yeah, but I kinked the second one.
That's right. Not that I was going to do it, but so anyway, we had a great visit. He had loads of fun showing us around, showing us all the beers, things that he was brewing. They had just started a barreling program. And so he was showing us the barrel racks and all that stuff. And that was great. And then the bus took us, it was about a 20-minute drive back towards Indy to a place called Cedar Creek, which is absolutely gorgeous. It started as a winery. A vineyard and winery, they grow their own grapes. And so it's just this beautiful pastoral, very nice setup. They have a wine tasting bar in there. They have picnic tables outside for people. We had a great time. The son of the owners, he wanted to start a brewery. And so his parents helped him to start a brewery on site. And I don't know if we were the first ones to visit, but he said we were the most excited to see all of his setup and asking him questions. So he was showing us like absolutely all of his equipment, everything, and opening everything up, answering all of our questions about stuff. And, you know, it was getting close to time to go. And I don't know if we ever actually got beer at this point. We might have had a beer that we were walking around on this tour with, but he just kept talking and it was great. But at the end, he took us over to this barrel and he said, "Hey, I just put some beer in this barrel. It should be ready in a couple of weeks. You want to try some?" So he reached in with this thief and he gave us all a little taster of this barrel aged beer that wasn't quite ready yet, but it was fun. It was certainly memorable. So we had so much fun there. And then we ended up going to another brewery, which is closer to Indy, probably a 30-minute drive to get there, called Planetary. And honestly, I don't remember much about it. Because we had had that barrel aged beer and whatever we were drinking on the bus for 30 minutes. So, yeah.
So I got a question about this one where the bridge went out. You went there and the sky wasn't even open yet. Like, I'm so confused how you got to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't even open.
No. Well, he knew we were coming. He had agreed. So he wasn't open to the public yet, but he knows this tour bus. Cause they go to his old place, which is in Nashville. Or it was in Nashville. And so they would go there and he said, "Hey, how about you come to the new place instead?" And so that's where we were ended up going. But yeah, they weren't open to the public yet. So he just let us in.
Nice. Now, yeah, that's actually pretty awesome. Now, I'm assuming you guys are drinking on this bus between stops. Is that?
Yes, we are. We stopped when we were going through the back hills of Indiana, just in case. But yeah, we certainly picked it back up again.
Wait, so what happens in the hills of Indiana? Is it like, are the police coming to get you or what's going on there? No, I'm scared to ever go there.
No, it's just windy roads with, you know, no cell signal, windy, very narrow 2-lane roads, room on the side of the road for walking or anything. So it's just, it's narrow and harrowing. It's, you know, when you see movies of British roads, that's about a car and a half wide.
Oh yeah.
they're kind of like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, Ken hates when I say this on here, but you know, you don't want to drink and drive or at least ride your bus while drinking because you might spill your beer on that kind of road.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully Ken's not listening to this later. He'll get mad at me. But anyways, let's hear your story, Wendy.
So mine is kind of similar. I believe he's been on the show before, Steve Johnson with Motor City Brew Tours, also wrote the book on Detroit beer, the history book on the Detroit beer. He did an overnight trip every year. And we went to Traverse City was the trip that I went on with them. And at the time I was dieting and I was trying to go keto. So I was very limited at limiting my carbs. So the night before I like make all these little snack bags of like rice crackers and things that are going to be better for me to eat. The only problem is that when we got on the bus, we then drove to Traverse City and we were doing bottle shares. So everybody brought like their big beers for this bus ride. And I didn't eat anything substantial because it was all veggies and rice crackers that I brought to snack on. So by the time we even got to Traverse City, and we had two stops on the way to Traverse City that we stopped for beer along the way. By the time we got there, I was so stinking drunk. It was ridiculous. Like we went out to dinner when we got there and we ordered our food and my friend got a wedge salad. And when it was sent delivered to her, I was like, oh man, that is my favorite salad. I wish I'd have gotten that. And then she brought my wedge salad. So I didn't even remember what I ordered in the time that it took them to make a wedge salad. It was that bad. We have some really funny pictures. We went to Rare Bird, and by the time we finished at Rare Bird, they wanted to go back. And my other friend was like, oh, we could walk down here to this other one. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, we ended up going back to the hotel and they had a dance club, like a nightclub in the hotel. So we're like, oh, let's go dance it off. Right. Well, she went back to the room and took my phone with her because my phone had died. And I couldn't remember what room number it was. And then I couldn't find my friends that we were there with. So I ended up wandering around the hotel for like 4 hours because I was too embarrassed to go up to the front desk and tell them I couldn't remember what room I was in.
Oh, God.
Like, and I would run into people. Like, I actually laid down on one of the benches outside of the elevators. And one of the people from the brew tour, this was a bus of like 45 people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a small tour by any means. They're like, saw me laying there. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just needed a nap. Oh, so I didn't tell anybody that I couldn't remember what room I was in.
Oh boy. What hotel was this?
I can't remember which one it was. It was in Traverse City. And like I said, there was a nightclub inside the hotel.
God, that's a very Traverse City type of thing with the nightclubs like, and the hotel and everything.
Yeah. Like they had a DJ and there were like people were coming in just to go to the nightclub. Like it was, I don't remember. And I couldn't tell them what name the room was under. My friend's last name is Schwarzenegger. Oh, jeez. And he asked me to spell it. And I just looked at him like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, I don't remember what room I'm in. And you want me to spell that? He's like, I'll escort you to the room. I'm like, okay.
Jeez. Oh, and this was after 4 hours. You should have just slept on the bench for a few more. It was probably daylight by then. Right?
But then I still wouldn't have been able to figure out which room I was in. I still would have had to ask him.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious.
Because I was not looking in the right place at all.
You're in the wrong part of the building. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Did you take this bus from the Detroit area up to Traverse City?
Yeah, we left from Royal Oak.
Oh, that's really awesome. Traverse City, Rob, if you've never been up there, is a really good small town with a lot of good breweries. And they're like just far apart though. I feel like you do need a bus to get around. Correct me if I'm wrong, Wendy, because I think of like where Right Brain's at, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And then even downtown, they're not totally walkable, but kind of if you really want to, but probably not in the winter time. So it's kind of the just
February.
Far enough.
So
oh yeah. So absolutely. Denver is the same way. There's 150 breweries, but none of them are next to each other. It's kind of weird.
So the bus, when it got you to Traverse City, then was it taking you around to the breweries in town the next day?
It took took us to Traverse City, and then we dispersed and did what we wanted to when we were in Traverse City. And then the next day, it took us home. And we stopped at breweries on the way home, too, I believe.
Oh, it didn't even take you to the breweries? Oh, that's terrible.
No, once we got there, everybody dispersed and went wherever they wanted to. But they did take us, like I said, we stopped at three breweries on the way there. Right Brain was, we did hit Right Brain, and then it took us into town. And we went and hit, we went, I think it's Four Monks or Three Monks or something like that, is a brew pub that had some really good food. A delicious wedge salad. Sounds like it.
Now, I got to ask you, because you're on the keto. Were you on keto for a long time before that? Or had you just started?
No, I had been doing it for probably a few weeks at that point. Enough that I committed to doing it while I was on this beer tour. It was not my brightest move. I'm not going to lie.
You probably got really drunk from that, because it, you know, when you're on keto, it does tend to affect you more. Yeah. I don't want to go into gory details about a Ken story that he's told me, as you know, he used to talk about being on keto for like 9 years or however long we've been doing this. And he ate, I think it was a breadstick, he told me, at one of our friends, actually our former host Nick's wedding. It didn't end well. Once, because those were the first carbs he had in a long time. So it can really cause a bad effect. Well, not bad, but an unpleasant effect when you get off of it like that, because your body's not used to it anymore. We'll let him give those details down the road if he wants to get into it. But I do have actually a similar story kind of with the nightclub thing. Now, Wendy, I don't think you have. Rob, you ever been out to Flagstaff, Arizona?
I have not.
Okay. So Flagstaff is a small college town in the northern part of Arizona where it's cold, snowy, not what everyone thinks. People think Arizona, they think the desert, because the majority of it is. But when you're 7,000 feet up above sea level in the mountains, you get cold and snow. And the nice thing about Flagstaff, it's a small town, but it's got a million breweries. And by million, I probably mean like 10 within like a 3-block walking distance. So the first time I decided to go up there with the now ex-wife, thankfully, we decided to do a walking tour of all of the breweries. Of course, we decided to do this in November when it's about 20 degrees out. And I'm sorry if you hear those sirens here. I don't know why there's always sirens in this stupid town. Anyways, so we're walking around. And the funny thing about Flagstaff, their downtown is divided by 4 train tracks. They go 2 each way, I believe, east and west. It's a major hub of where all the transportation goes between the between the east and west into LA and out east. Anyway, so we hit the south part of downtown where there are some breweries, and we're heading back to the north part. And, you know, because this is a college town and there's a lot of kids, we were asking them which one to go to next, because they're all walking around going brewery or bar to bar, because there's a lot of bars there too. We're stopped at the train tracks talking to people like, oh yeah, come to this Irish pub. They have a lot of good beers there you can try. You know, not a brewery. We're like, okay. So we follow them. Turns out it is a Irish pub, but it turns into like a dance club, like at night. And we walk up to the bar and there's like people like rubbing their asses on the window, dancing. I'm like, what the hell did we just walk into?
Oh, like, so it wasn't Riverdance?
No, it was not Riverdance. I would have tried to join in with that. That would have been fun. Like, give me a big pint beer and let me get out there. But no, so it turns into like this, God, I'm showing my age here. I would have went to this probably 30 years ago, but there's these college kids and they're like grinding on each other. I'm like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. And my wife's like, what did you just get me into? So... And because we went to this place, all the breweries were closing. Everything closes up there at like 9, 10 o'clock. But thankfully, there was what actually turned out to be one of my favorite breweries in the state called Rickety Cricket, 2 doors down, that happened to be open till midnight. And thankfully, we found that one as our last stop. And it turned out that they're metalheads there, the people that were working and could control all the videos that were shown on the TVs and stuff. And it turned into a pretty good night. That's probably the best tour I've been on. And it's always a good tour when you're pretty hungover, still drunk the next day. So definitely, I didn't have to drive through the mountains, so it was all good.
So was it named before the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia character got named?
What do you mean?
Oh, there's Rickety Cricket is one of the
Oh, it might be. Oil. I have no idea. I've never watched that show. They had four breweries in the state, but they're back down to just the one. That's way up in Kingman. So I'm not sure. That's a good question I'd have to ask him. All right. So what are we doing next? That was our tour stories. And I think I came ill prepared. I'm terrible. Rob, what do you got for us? Or Wendy, what do you got?
Oh, I could give you a million stories. Apparently, I really like beer tours and beer buses and pub crawls. I have spent years doing pub crawls through the JCs. I've been in pub crawls all over the state of Michigan.
Yeah, tell us. It doesn't have to be a brewery tour. Tell us about something you've done.
I will tell you, when you're planning a pub crawl, you really have to pay attention to who the people are going to be that are going to be on that bus, because the very last pub crawl that I ever organized without using another company did not turn out so well. The only rules were that you can't have sex and you can't throw up on the bus. And I know at least like four people threw up on the bus. Like, it was horrible. I couldn't even believe like how many people it was a horror show at the end for the sober person who was planning this bar crawl. We won't ever do that again. I also know that when you're on a beer bus in Michigan, a keg is not a good idea. Stick with jello shots and bottle shares. Because the kegs get really foamy when they are going across all of the potholes on our wonderful Michigan roads.
That makes sense.
Anybody who has never done a pub crawl, when they give you the warning, it doesn't mean hurry up and order one more shot. It means finish what you're drinking and then get something else at the next place. Not get another shot real quick.
Yeah, in Indiana, it means you can go get your to-go cup, and they'll pour it into your to-go cup so you can take it on the bus.
See, we don't have those rules here. Yeah, Michigan's kind of boring when it comes to that. My, 6 weeks or so I've spent down in New Zealand, it's nice. You can take beer or liquor anywhere unless it's marked that you can't. There are certain zones, like around parks and stuff, that you can't have open containers, but everywhere else is good to go. It's kind of nice. Now, I do have good non brewery tours that we used to do. In fact, former host Nick, Ken, and I used to go out for Nick's birthday every year, going on a limo, basically, tour of places downtown and such. We always used to end up at this one bar called the Town Pump. Wendy, you might be familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of down by Comerica Park and now Ford Field. And, man, it used to get completely belligerent in there. They would have really good beer. For example, they would have, it's that wee heavy stout. I can't think of the name of it, from Dragon Mead. You might know about it, Wendy, but I can't think of the name. No, that's in Arizona. That's Arizona. It's from Dragon Mead.
I know what you're talking about.
It was a wee heavy. It was really good. And they were selling it for like $8 a pitcher. And there was one night, my buddy who wasn't on the bus tour but came down there, and he convinced another table to buy us two pitchers of it, to buy me and him a pitcher of it each. So we ended up drinking that, and then we go to this place next to the Fillmore. I was trying to think the State Theater. There was a bar next to that called like the Dirty Trick or something. And then Ken discovered they were selling BCBS for like $5 for a 10-ounce. So those are the kind of nights that I really like. It doesn't have to be at a brewery, but when you get to something like that, God, it's so much fun, especially when you're going around in a limo. Cause you don't got to worry about driving. You don't have to worry about anything else. You can drink as much as you want in the back. So it just turns into a degenerate kind of time. What about you, Rob? Do you have a non-brewery story like that?
I've got a beer map that I keep up to date of downtown Indianapolis, and it includes breweries and not breweries, and my friends and I walk. It's very, very walkable. It's maybe 3 blocks between most of the breweries. One of them might be 5 or 6 blocks out. It's really not that bad of a walk. So we'll do that and we'll start at a brewery. And then like there's now there's this food hall called The Garage. And it's just one of those fancy food halls with lots of cuisines from all over. But they've got 2 good tap rooms in there. And then most of the food vendors have their own, have taps of various stuff from around the state too. And also on that list, on the map is Tomlinson Tap Room, which is run by the Indiana Brewers Guild. And they just have Indiana beers on tap from all over the state though. It's going to be breweries that some of them are kind of out there, and the only reason you would be at those breweries is because you went to those breweries, type of a thing. So that's kind of, it's cool exposure for them. It's cool exposure for us. We get to try their beers and, you know, hear about them and know that they exist out there and we might want to visit them. So that's on the, and that's, I mean, that's a fun place to go. There also is a food hall in there, but usually by the time we get there, all the food stalls are done. They're all closed. Yeah. And then there's 3 other breweries and a couple brewery restaurants and things. Like, it's a really walkable city. If you ever had a hotel in downtown Indianapolis, you could spend all afternoon and evening at different places. It would be great.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun too. Just going to somewhere and staying, especially like a downtown area. That's what I like to do. Just stay somewhere where you can walk to a bunch of places, unless you really want to go out somewhere. I'd do that with San Diego. I don't know if either of you have been there, but it's really nice because there are so many places downtown. They're not all walkable, but as far as breweries go, especially, there's a lot of heavy hitters that are right there. Now let's flip the script on this a little bit. Tell us about a brewery tour. It doesn't have to be brewery tour, any type of pub crawl or anything that was not a good experience. You have to have a story like that. Wendy, let's hear yours.
Well, besides the one where 4 people threw up on my
Do you have yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have a worse one than that?
Or the fact that I fell asleep, or that I couldn't fall asleep in the lobby or whatever.
So that one was a bad experience?
No, that was actually a really good time. Even though I don't remember like half the night, it was still a lot of fun and we got to go to some really awesome breweries. So I would never say it was a bad experience. I don't really know that I've ever had a bad experience. When I was younger, I have definitely partaken a little too much.
So basically got drunk on the tour.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've never, we did have one pub crawl where by the time we got to one of the last places that had food, which is why we put it at the spot that we did, they weren't going to let us in because people were too drunk.
Oh jeez.
You asked for this spot on the pub crawl and now you're going to tell us no? Like, they literally weren't going to let people in. Like, I had to go and talk to the owner because I was like, listen, you set this up. You've asked for this time. You wanted people to come in and eat. And now you're turning people away. Like, you can't do that. So there was one person that I could not get them to let in the bar. And I understand why.
Oh, those are always the best times.
So,
I've had
some
interesting ones, like, but it wasn't so much bad. One of the buses. So if you remember when Groupon was a big thing, brew buses used to be on Groupons all the time. And so I'd get that same group of parents together and would, you know, rent a bus for pretty cheap, maybe $20 a person type of a thing. But one of them, which I'm pretty sure doesn't exist anymore. I swear it was a prison bus, like a prison transport bus.
Oh, that would have been great.
Like, there were no walls or barriers or anything, and all the benches were like around the outside, so we were all staring at each other, and all it was missing was like places for the shackles to be attached down on the floor. And so that one was a little weird. It had to have been an old prison bus.
Like, oh, that's amazing. Oh, I hope it was. That's so cool. Were the windows blacked out so you couldn't see in or
they
see
were
in
dark,
the outside?
But they weren't blacked out. Yeah, we could. Yeah. But it didn't matter because we were all facing each other, which also is a little awkward.
That's weird. Was it like wooden benches or how was it? I'm trying to picture how this
was. So yeah, we were all sitting sideways to the direction of travel, or most of us. A couple of us were along the back wall. It really did wrap all the way around. But yeah, it was benches. There were no arms that I can remember on this thing. Like it was.
Oh, that's
so amazing. I was a little skeptical when we got in there. Like pretty much we sat down and we started going towards our first brewery, and I could not for the life of me tell you where we were going on that trip. And I said to the person next to me, I said, is this a prison bus? So from then on, yeah, that's the prison bus tour.
So I've got a good one that's a little bit different. If you're familiar with Scottsdale, Arizona, it's a big party town. It's where all the clubs and where all the kids like to go and drink way too much. And a friend of mine decided that we should go. We originally went to a St. Patrick's Day festival out in a city called Fountain Hills, and it was kind of boring. It was tons of old people that live out there. They were looking for something to do, and they're like, oh, let's go to this pub crawl in Scottsdale. So you go, you get this wristband, you know, so you can go around to these and get the pub crawl menu, as I'm using the, you know, air quotations that you can't see. So at first it's all good. So if you go to the outlying bars that are on it, it's all fine. People are acting normal. As soon as you get to, inside of what's called Old Town, is where all the party places are at, it just turns into a complete clusterfuck. I can't remember the name of the bar we walked into. It might have been El Jefe, which is a big bar/club out where we're at in a couple different areas. And walk in there, the music's just blaring. Now, keep in mind, this is at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Walk into this place, people are dancing on the tables, visibly drunk, like unable to stand up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So leave there. Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day. These people clearly aren't Irish. You know, that's something I always talk about and say, you know, why are you getting wasted on? You're not Irish. What are you doing? But I know, Wendy, I don't know if you're Irish. I know you like St. Patrick's Day, so I'm not going to give you too much trouble. So then we go to this club that's down the street that's also on this, you know, with the wristbands that you can get into. And the line was so long. It's called Maya. It has a swimming pool. It's like a day club with a pool inside the club. And try to go in there. The line is wrapped around the block because there are like 21-year-olds trying to go get shit-faced. So can't get into there. Walk over to another bar. Trying to think. It might have been called Hi-Fi. There's a million bars down there. And then there's one person inside. So it's so weird and so random that, you know, the kids are drunk dancing on the tables and across the street, no one's there because they're not having people drinking and dancing on tables, apparently. great. I haven't been back to downtown Scottsdale since because I just hate that kind of thing. And I knew it was probably going to be that way. I didn't know it was going to be not able to stand up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
To be fair, it's probably not that way on a regular basis. It just happens to be that particular day that pulls out all the amateurs.
Yeah, that's true. But man, if you ever come out to Arizona, I'll take you guys to Old Town Scottsdale. You can see what goes on there. And then you'll be like, let's go somewhere that isn't like this. But yeah, I haven't been down there since then because it's just like, yeah, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm too old, apparently. And I like to think I'm not old, but those people make me feel old. Like, yeah, get off my lawn. Like, go somewhere else is how I felt.
I experienced that slightly during World Cup soccer. One of the American games was like 10 in the morning, maybe it might've been 9 in the morning, something like that. So my buddy and I went down to watch the soccer game, the NCAA, I think it was the Big Ten Championships were in Indianapolis that same day. And so it might not have been, it was some big 10 tournament or game down there. So there were a bunch of people coming down from Michigan because their team was playing. And they were all just thrilled that the bars were open so early and already so packed. And it was people watching soccer. A lot of them had already been, you know, drinking because they had a football game to get ready for. but basically, yeah, we watched the soccer game and then, you know, they were all rowdy already and rowdy leaving the place and getting ready to go actually tailgate and get to their game.
Now that game, yeah, if it's the Big Ten Championship, that happens at like 7 o'clock at night in Indiana, and these guys are at the bar at 10 in the morning. Like, can you guys do that? Can you drink all day like that and then go to an event?
I would sleep. Probably at the event.
I have done it before. I don't know how good I would be at it now. Now, probably not. We have done, as Detroit City fans, we have gone from Summer Beer Fest to a Detroit City game.
Oh, geez.
That was rough. We did not sit in the unruly section at that one. We went where we could go and actually sit, because at that point I was like, I can't stand anymore.
Yeah, and thinking about Summer Beer Fest, it's always hot, it's always humid there. I know I personally, like, Ken would yell at us, like me and former host Rob, we're going right towards the 10% and over beers right away. Like, as soon as it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's so tempting.
And Ken's like, what are you guys doing? He's like, don't do this. But we do it anyways. And then I just think about how hot it is. It just takes all the energy out of you. I don't think I could go to a soccer match or anything afterwards. I'd probably just want to go to bed and sleep. I went to that beer fest in Christchurch a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what I did. I was there for like 3 hours. I'm like, and I'm done. And I went home and slept for about six. And then, of course, was up all night because of ruining the sleep schedule. So, yeah, I don't know if I could do that. Of course, I have. But, God, I feel like there are days I've drank from, especially in like Las Vegas or somewhere like that, from like 9 a.m. to like 2 a.m. or later. I'm sure we've all done that if you've been to Vegas at some point. Have you, Rob?
Yeah, I was a lot younger when I was able to do that, but I have definitely done that. And I just, it doesn't appeal anymore.
Now I laugh at the people there because you'll see that, you know, being on the west side of the country, you know, we're on Las Vegas time most of the year, and I'll get up. I want to go get some coffee or something. It's like 10 o'clock, you know, just got because I'd been up late the night before. And like, there are people going hard. I'm like, you can tell these people are from the East Coast. Because they're up at like 8, 9 in the morning drinking, going crazy. It's like, holy crap. It's kind of like here in Hawaii. You can tell the people that are from the east part of the mainland because they're out wandering around and it's 7 in the morning. So always a fun time with that. What about you, Wendy?
Why is it that the East Coast people get up earlier?
Because it's 5 hours. We're five hours later here in Hawaii.
That makes more sense than
In Las Vegas being 3 hours.
I always had that problem working in California, and one place I was working for, they started at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I mean, that's already 1 PM.
Oh yeah. Now, are you Eastern time in Indiana?
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Indiana used to be weird where it used to be like,
it's still weird, but different.
Weird, but different now. Yeah. You guys need to get your time together. Apparently we're one of the two states in Arizona that don't change our time. So we flip between Pacific and Mountain throughout the year, depending on what part of the year it is.
Yeah, Indiana used to do that. Didn't change their time. Now they do. Northwest Indiana is on Chicago time. Southwest Indiana is on Chicago time. And the rest of it is on Eastern time.
Oh, that's so frustrating. That's no fun at all. Part of the UP is in Central time, like the far west, southwest corner of it by Wisconsin. So always
makes sense. They probably do all their business with Wisconsin, so might as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're close to Green Bay and Appleton up there. Way closer than anything. Oh, they would totally succeed
for Michigan if they could.
Talk about the UP.
Oh yeah.
They've tried before. They tried to make it a state. I can't remember when, but they would absolutely. They have no connection with the Lower Peninsula at all.
I hear it. I hear it come up again. I always think it's funny because, like, our governor right now has that accent. I'm like, did she grow up in the UP? No, she grew up in Lansing. Like, why does she sound like she's from Wisconsin? Yeah. Her Michigan accent does not sound like my Michigan accent. I'm like, I don't understand where she got this from.
Yeah, she's probably faking it, trying to play to the constituents up in the UP.
I don't know.
don't want to really talk politics here. You know, that's kind of one of the rules we have. But yeah, well, Ken isn't
it's
here.
It's just so that accent thing I don't get. I'm like, I don't understand this. Like, where did that come from? I have noticed, though, doing a couple of videos that I will listen to again. Like, after I do my video and I play it through, I'll be like, whoa, there's the Michigan accent in there.
I just heard it there. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. I had someone at a bar ask me, I was talking to in Auckland, and he's like, I'm going to guess what part of U.S. you're from. I'm like, all right, I bet you can't. He's like, Missouri. I'm like, what? Like, I'm 99% sure I don't have like a Southern Missouri accent. Like, 99% sure. I'm like, how do you, like, where are you getting that guess from? Like, I know what people like their talk like. So
when I was in Switzerland, Swiss German speaking part of the country, the guy I was with, he grew up in Holland, and so he's Dutch. And we're listening to a couple coworkers talking to each other in Swiss German, and he says, you hear that accent difference? He's from Holland. And I'm like, no, I don't hear that. I don't understand what's going on over there.
No, I can definitely tell between a Holland, someone speaking Dutch from Holland versus, you know, German. They definitely do have different accents. If you haven't been to Holland, it doesn't take long to pick up on it. They have a higher pitched tone than Germans typically do, is what at least I look for.
Yeah, but I don't know what the words are that they're saying in the Swiss German. So I couldn't really pick it out. I can definitely hear the Holland accent when they're speaking English.
Oh, yeah. They have a higher pitch tone there, too. It's kind of funny. And just you can out anyone by having them say anything with the letters TH next to each other. And it's really easy to tell. Easy way to bust someone. Now, that brings up a good thing, good segue here. One other thing I wanted to talk about is what have you seen? And it doesn't have to be another country. It can be another state or another country that they don't do, whether it be at a bar, brewery, anything like that, that they do where you're used to going to. And I'll start this off, and it's really weird because I see it every time that I am in New Zealand these days, is the majority of the bars don't have bar seating. So you walk in there, there's nowhere to sit at the bar. You have to go to a table. You just walk up to the bar. That's casual or pretty normal to go up and order, but then you can't sit there. So if you're in there by yourself, you're taking up a 4-seat table, something like that, and you just have to keep going up each time you want something. I really wish more places would pick that up. Now, there are a few places that do have it, but they're few and far between. Most of the bars are like, oh, you just walk up, order, and go sit somewhere else. And then no one ever checks on you. There's no wait staff, anything like that. So it's a little annoying. What about you guys? Wendy, we'll start with you on
this. Is that a leftover from COVID, though?
No. I asked about that. It's always been tradition there. The no sitting at the bar. Yeah, it's really strange.
I've noticed a lot of places around here haven't really put their bar seating back in place, or there's less seating at the bar now.
Yeah. When I ask, it's just something the majority of them, it's just like common there, just common tradition.
I see that at college bars.
At college bars with the no seat. Is this like a Saturday night when the DJ is going kind of bar?
Yeah, I never really noticed if there's a DJ. It's just that the bar is stupid crowded of, you know, it's 3 or 4 deep of people trying to order their drinks and all that.
I don't go to those kind of places anymore.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't. Do you go to them any less?
I don't. No, because I don't want to stand 4 people deep to get a drink. I just can't do it.
I do not remember why I was there.
I was just reminiscing today because I mentioned that there's a Broadway preview going to be happening in Boston that I wanted to go to. And I told my friend, I'm like, we haven't been in Boston in a few years. We should go and check it out again, see what's changed there. And because we went and did like every brewery in Boston proper, like that you can imagine, but we didn't go to Dorchester, which is where we were staying, because when we got there, it was lined up like a fucking nightclub. They had like an hour wait to get in. Oh, and I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I'm an adult. I'm not waiting in line to get into a brewery.
That's a point. So I've never heard that.
The day. Well, a lot of them, quite a few of the breweries that I went to in Boston, during the day, it's much more laid back and brewery-like. But then at night, they bring in DJs and they have dancing and stuff like that. So a lot of the younger kids go.
I'm okay without the younger kids.
So apparently that's what happened at this Dorchester Brewing. So I still haven't been there, even though I stayed like 5 minutes from it. We never made it there because I'm like, I ain't waiting in line. We went to the Irish pub down the street.
Probably walked right in and sat down and had decent beer anyways. You know, I'm going to take that back. There is one brewery here that I can think of, or when I see here, and it's in Arizona. It's in downtown Phoenix called Wilderness. And it's the majority of the seating's outside. That's the one, and at night on the weekends, that's the one place I've seen where people line up. And I don't know why, especially in the summertime, it's hot. Even though they got the mister things, people are still standing out there waiting to go in. It's funny you also mentioned the lining up and the kids in Tempe, where Arizona State is, along Mill Avenue, which is a main drag. There's a ton of clubs you'll see at night with like the 21-year-olds all lined up to go in there. And then you go to the brewery that's next door and there's two people in there. It's like, okay, you guys line up for your Miller Lights, have fun. And I'll walk in here and sit where I want because I feel the same way. I'm not standing in line to go and get beer. It's not worth it.
No, I've stood in line for two beers at beer festivals, and it was Utopias, and there was a Toppling Goliath beer that I wanted. That was it. Other than that, I'm like, there's so much good beer, there's no reason for me to stand in line.
The best reason to stand in line at a beer festival is to slow yourself down.
That's fair.
True story.
You know, it's funny. Utopias, I think, is the only one I've stood in line for. And there's no reason to now because they always have it at the press thing at the GABF. They have a lot of it, typically. But I'll stand in line for it, yeah, because like you said, Rob, to slow down. Especially they usually tap it later in the festival. So it is a good time to take a break. I saw people standing in line for Pliny the Elder this year, too. A lot of people were lining up, and the line never went away. So it wasn't like they just tapped it to have it at a certain time. They had it going all day. So there were always 20, 30 people deep. And they had a line specifically for that. I just walked up and asked them for something else, because I don't need to stand in line for, especially for an IPA. Like, I'm good on that.
Or one that I've already had.
Yeah, have you had that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it worth it? I feel like it's not with how many IPAs are out there. I feel like it's like probably not as living up to the hype these days as people like make it out to be. Like, is the legend bigger than the actual beer?
I think part of it is the getting it. But it is a really good beer. I like Pliny the Elder. I did go to great lengths to get Pliny the Younger. During COVID was the only time they shipped it. And we had it shipped to somebody in California who then shipped it to us so that we could get it. And like, we only got like one bottle each, and it cost us like $50 or $60 a person.
Oh my God.
And we had to, but we got other beers in the case, but it was still, it was like, it was worth it because I can say that I've had it. It was my whale. We made it happen. I still want to go when they tap Pliny the Younger at the brewery. I want to go and do that. That's one of my bucket list events, along with the KBBS the Kentucky Breakfast Stout, whatever.
Toppling Goliath.
So those two events are like my big wants. Still,
I want to get
that are just so out of reach.
I want to get Selly Dripping sometime from Sierra Nevada. It's basically the hop juice that's left over when they brew Celebration.
Okay,
that's an actual thing.
Tell us more about this because I need to hear about this. It might add to my list.
Okay, so you know the Celebration is their fresh hop, delicious fresh hop beer that they do every year. Because they have at least the two locations now. They've got the one in South Carolina, North Carolina, one of the Carolinas.
North Carolina, it's Asheville.
In North Carolina, and I guess when they brew it in North Carolina, someone who was sitting at the bar saw them draining the hop bags. And they said, "Hey, can you put that in a glass for me?"
And they did. And from there, Sally Drippins was was born. And so
what?
Like they'll have like a keg or two of this, just the stuff that drains out of the hop bags that they were dry hopping in.
That's
wow,
like hop water. Like it's, I mean, that's true hop water right there, man.
Yeah. I don't know if they ferment it. I don't know how far they go at that point. Maybe they do ferment it at that point and, you know, and it's beer, but yeah, it's more than just hop water because it's got all the other stuff in it. Like it's been sitting in the wort. Or if this is, if they're dry hopping it, then yeah, that's beer.
Yeah, if it's fresh, I'm assuming it's before. I'm really curious about this now. It sounds like something we have to have Ken try because it would be right up his alley.
Yeah, yeah, he likes that.
Okay. On Untapped, it says, every year we take the hop sacks that are submerged in the celebration tanks to round out the bold hop flavors and save the drippings. For a limited time, we have this available at the tap room only. Hints of rose, pine, grapefruit, and toffee.
Wow. That's the first time I've heard about that. That's amazing.
That's gonna go on my list because, I mean, yeah, that's...
That sounds like a unique thing that you can experience, right?
Right. And it's all about the experience. Sometimes it's more about the experience than the beer.
Yeah, and that one, it's a trip to Asheville or it's a trip out to, I lost it out in California? Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Chico.
Yeah, Chico.
I believe that's where they're at. But I didn't even know they were in Asheville, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, their facility in Asheville is really pretty cool too. The things that they do with sustainability is amazing. So I really want to go. I can't wait to go. Next time I'm in Asheville, we're going to go and do the tour at Sierra Nevada. I didn't get to go this time, last time I was around, and I couldn't take Grandma because obviously she's not going to do a brewery tour.
No, she just brews beer, right?
I can see her in her walker. She has brewed beer with me at Easter Market before.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. She was all into it, too. She was like, trying to climb up the ladder to put stuff in. I'm like, Grandma, you got to stay down here. No way.
We didn't sign that liability waiver.
Oh, yeah. She was much more mobile then. But now I'm like, I can't see her taking the walker through the brewery.
Now, Sierra Nevada is one brewery. I know they've turned into the little things. Trying to, you know, match up with the Voodoo Ranger, you know, and I know they still make their other beer. I wish they would put out some of the other things. Like, I wish we could get Narwhal more often. I wish they'd put out Bigfoot Ale more often. They're just, you know, they got a lot of beers. They're just, I think they're trying to, I don't know if keep themselves relevant because there are so many options out there. And Sierra Nevada Pale is just that beer that's been here, you know, 40 years now. So I don't know if that's what they're doing, but I wish they would put out some of their other things, unless they're just not moving. You know, Sam from Dogfish Head told me he loves to make Palo Santo Marone. It's just, it doesn't move compared to the other beers. So maybe that is the case.
I saw Sierra Nevada has their high hop mix pack at Costco again. It had been gone for a while, but that's got like the Hot Bullet and
Torpedoes one too.
Torpedo,
that they put out there all the time.
And so, so it's got Torpedo, it's got Hot Bullet, it's got, you know, a couple other of those higher ABV, higher hop content beers. So it's got four of those, but it's a 24 pack. So it's a lot of beers when you get it at Costco.
But yeah, they're basically mimicking Voodoo Ranger. Now you can get the hazy, you can get the standard and you can get the Imperial. I know Voodoo Ranger has like a million other variants, and they're always next to each other. So you know what's going on there. They're just trying to get that market. Let's go back to that question I asked, though, about something you wish other places did, you saw that they didn't do and wish they did, like you would see in Michigan, Indiana, or Arizona. What about you, Wendy? Do you have one?
I knew you were going to come to me first because I'm like,
oh, let's go to Rob
there's
then.
A few things. Yeah, Rob, you start this one off.
Well, kind of turning it around a little bit, it's things that they don't do in Indiana that they do pretty much everywhere else I've ever been.
That works too. Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
So we can't discount liquor by time. So there are no happy hours in Indiana. You can do it by day.
I've heard that in other cities before, in other states before too. That's actually kind of surprising because happy hour is a thing to get people in there, you know, in off times. So you could do it for a whole day, but you can't do it from like 4 to 6.
Right. You can't do it from 4 to 6, but you can do it for Thursday. Yeah.
That's insane. You know, so here comes the Sunday special.
Yeah. Yeah. And so having discounts on growlers, you know, at key times, like before they're busy, that would, a lot of breweries would, you know, benefit from that. And things like that, but it's got to be discounted for the day. So it's always on Sundays now.
Yeah, of course. Well, that makes sense. You know, if you can do it for the day or do it permanently, because I know a lot of breweries or beer bars, if the keg's getting lower, it's not moving, they'll discount it to get it out of there so they don't have to just drain the keg. So that's really interesting. That's against business, which is too bad. Is that a state law?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a state law. They can't do that. I'm surprised. Well, they probably have tried to make it work or change with the law, but you know how
it's not as work. Awful as I expected it to be. Like when I first learned about it or first noticed that there were no happy hours, like it's not horrible. The day discounts work out pretty well. I do think that it would help these restaurants and such get people in there at their usual off times though. So I feel like that's a missed opportunity for business. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Wendy, what do you have for us?
So I can't really think of anything that they do that we can't do here.
What about in other places?
Besides like the open carry stuff. Besides like the open carry stuff. But as soon as you said that, things that people, they do that people don't do when you're out of state that they do here. When you guys cheers, what do you do next?
Touch the glass to the table, right?
Yeah.
Before you drink. It's bad luck to not do that. In other states, I don't think they do that. I've seen so many other places where they didn't do it. And everybody that I knew from Michigan or the Midwest, because we have friends from Ohio and Indiana that come with us too, they all do that, but not the people from the West Coast. They weren't doing it. I'm like, what's going on?
The whole ritual is cheers, touch the, and then the drink has to at least touch your lips. Even if you weren't planning to take a drink at that time, you have to make the motion. Yeah.
So, but the fact that like, I was like, it was weird that we all did it. And I looked around and like the friends at the other half of the table weren't doing it.
They're halfway done with their drink.
How do they get the gremlins out of the table?
Right? Is that what that's for?
I have no idea, but it does sound pretty good.
I have no idea where Giuseppe is.
Now,
so that is really the only thing. I'm sure that there's something that I'll think of like when I'm laying in bed at night trying to go to sleep, but.
And you're thinking about this, like why don't they do that there?
Why didn't I answer that? Something silly, I'm sure.
All right. Did either of you have any other subjects to talk about?
I mean, I could talk about more beer trips and things if we wanted to, but
I was going to say, I did remember a bad beer trip story.
Let's hear it.
I have to go back because there was two. You guys talked about two different things and I thought about it and I was like, oh, I have a story for that. And I have a story for that. So St. Patrick's Day, it wasn't a beer trip, but we did an event where we all went to like this hall and we had dinner and then we got on a bus and they took us to Old Chilele, which is downtown Detroit. And it's like a huge, gigantic Irish bar in Detroit. So like, it's a really big deal to go there on St. Patrick's Day. Like I call it Club Chilele now because it's not the same as it was when I was younger. But they took us there. Like they've got this big, huge tent. It's like two blocks wide. This tent is. We're all in there. We're drinking. We're having a good time. We ran into some friends. They left us. We didn't get quick. We weren't quick enough to get to the bus, and they left us in downtown Detroit with no way to get home. So
when was this?
Oh, this was like 2010, 2009. I mean, it was a long time ago.
So and probably pre-Uber, I believe.
Oh, yeah. There was no Uber back then. There was no way to call and get a ride. Like, you had to call somebody and ask for a ride. Luckily, my friend had run into a friend of hers, and they were able to take us back to the hall so that we could get our stuff that was at this hall. And we walked in, and I'm pretty sure that the person who was running it knew how upset that we were going to be, because as soon as we walked in the door, he like started screaming at me. I told you to be at the bus on time, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you could see us from the bus. Like, you couldn't wait that like 2 minutes for us to make sure that our friend had a ride home. Like, it was a bad situation. So that was a bad time. I couldn't believe they left me in Detroit because I didn't get back there. And it was literally like 2 minutes after we were supposed to be there that we showed up and they were gone. And yeah, they knew that they left us. And luckily we got back and we were able to find a ride. But yeah, you have to be careful of stuff like that, man.
I would have been so mad. Like 2 minutes, like, what do you do?
I was mad, but I wasn't even going to say anything because, like, everybody's been drinking. Like, that wasn't the time to start a big fight about it. But as soon as I walked in the hall, he came out and started yelling at me, and I was like, I'm out. I just took my stuff and I left. But it took a long time for me to trust that person again. Let's put it that way. So that was a very bad beer experience. But it was the St. Patrick's Day thing that made me think of it.
Yeah, go for it. It's always St. Patrick's Day that brings out like the worst stories.
Something stupid. People are, I've done stupid stuff too.
It's the green dye that does it. Yeah. Cause you know, that's what they're all drinking is like the green dyed beer. So it's always a lot of fun.
I've only done that once and it freaked me out the next day. So I won't do it again.
I'm sure it's
eating beets. The opposite of eating beets. Yeah.
I was like, I just said I'd never had green beer. So it was like a big joke. They actually took me from work at lunch to give me green beer. It was not a very productive afternoon.
Wait, how many did you drink?
And I don't remember what the other story was. There was something. Enough that it wasn't a very productive afternoon.
Jeez.
We got to drink one for everybody who took you.
Calm down on the Bud Light.
Right. Right. Well, that was back when I would actually drink Bud Light. So.
Ugh. Yeah. When's the last time you guys drank something like that? I can't tell you the last time I drank a Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. Bud Light would be an absolute no. That tastes like Thanksgiving.
I got a High Life right here.
Nice.
You've got a High Life. Now, what about, the biggest craft beer?
I'm a big fan of the High Life,
man. What about the biggest craft beer in the world, which is PBR?
I actually had one of those the other day. I posted it on our Better on Draft. I really bought it specifically because I only wanted to do the one meal and there weren't any Pilsners in singles. So I grabbed the PBR because I'm like, oh, that'll work with this particular meal. And it is, the largest independently owned craft beer company. So
that's right.
Yeah, I'll take that sense everywhere. I'll say that anytime. Like people are like, what are you talking about? Yeah, PBR. Biggest craft beer in the world. Absolutely amazing.
Independently owned. Still a craft beer.
You know what I think I'm going to have to do is, they were drinking that back during the Civil War, at least according to the can, with when they started making it. Right. I need to start doing shotgun videos of PBR, maybe start adding shotgun videos to TikTok, get, like PBR, things like that. Just have a great time. Because there are those things out there to let you shotgun a beer a lot easier. I mean, a 12-ounce gun, maybe. Yes, I know I can. Actually, have you tried?
I don't know, because I'm really bad at chugging. Really bad, because it comes out my nose. Because I don't have a So.
Well, now we want videos.
Yeah. So it would probably be a really funny video, because it would just be all over me. But
there we go. It's going to be the Better on Draft chugging or shotgun challenge is what we're going to do. I don't think I could do it these days, but I always used to brag about it. No one would play me in Edward 40 hands because I could finish my first 40 in about 60 seconds and then just go from there on the second one. I don't know if I could do that these days, but that's a fun game. I don't know if either of you have played that before.
I have not played that before.
No.
Just me. Because I don't like the fact that I don't have use of my hands. Well, but me. I have done it.
Fast. You have
played it. I was a flip cup champion, though. So
flip one cup's sip, fun. One flip. Yeah, flip cup's a lot of fun. We used to do beer games all the time. Ken used to run them. In fact, I was going to come into town for a buddy of mine's. He was doing like beer Olympics, and Ken's like, we're going just because he wanted to see me go down a slip and slide. I'm like, I can skip that part. I was already told I can just run past it or run alongside of it. But that would be a lot of fun.
Batch Brewing is doing beer Olympics, I think Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh boy.
I was just trying to look it up. They have the beer Olympics, and I'm like, I should put a team together. And then I thought about it and I was like, no, because I'd be the one that has to like do the lap around the building with the beer in your hand.
Yeah. I'd be skipping that one too. I'd be like, no way. Yeah. I just got to drink this.
I'm not even doing the lap around the building without a beer in my hands. Let's be honest.
Like, just give me the beer to drink. I'll watch the rest of you run around. Right. Like, that's a fun
I'm a really good
it.
Cheerleader.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. We should put that together too. I don't know how well that would go over, but we could have a better on draft beer Olympics and just see what happens.
Oh, I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome at first, but who knows what's going to happen towards the end.
A bunch of submissions from people who want to show off their beer drinking and athletic skills.
We could do that beer mile, like that race that Ken showed us.
Yes.
That's awesome. I'm still amazed that these guys do that. Like, I think it's flipping awesome. I could never do it. I'd be throwing up halfway down the track.
I've got about a third mile track. It's not really a track. It's just a walking path across the street from me. I could do three of them, I guess, and get a mile in.
It's funny when you look at the beer mile, one of the pictures on Google is a guy throwing up.
Sounds right.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. In my chug group online, I have a couple that decided at one point they needed to do a race with their beers. So they like literally raced to the end of their street or like three or four houses down or whatever, while they were carrying their beers, and then they had to chug the beer when they got down there and then race back. But when she got down to the end, she didn't have any beer left in her glass, so she couldn't chug it. That was hilarious. It was pretty funny.
That sounds good. That's why they have them set up at these stopping point in the beer mile.
Yeah, I'm looking at these. If I'm reading these times correctly, it's taken people 4 hours to do these beer miles. That doesn't even make sense.
It's 4 minutes. 4 minutes is.
Okay. 4 minutes, 28 seconds, and one yes. time. Okay. I was like, what, 4 hours?
I can do that.
I'm not doing this either. I'll watch. I'm not drinking a beer and running. Like, get out of here. Start chugging a beer. So you run a lap, drink a beer.
You start by drinking a beer, and then, after each lap, you drink another beer.
See, what I would do, we're going to put this together. We're going to do a better on draft version, but it's going to be, they're going to think like it's, you know, like a Pilsner, something easy, but it's going to be like a 10% Pilsner, like a blonde, something to make it more interesting.
When we talked about it last time, someone said the dragon's milk would be a good one because it's
not that was so carbonated. Probably me. Yeah, that was probably me.
It's not carbonated, so yeah.
And instead of a 12-ounce, you got to do a pint.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it would go over well.
I don't think I'm not. Sure. Let me agree with that, but
not for the athlete.
Just have them sign a liability thing. Like, why are you drinking 4 pints of dragon's milk and running?
Now, I can't finish it in 4 minutes, but I could probably do well. I could do a normal mile sub 10 for sure. So that's 4 pints within 10 minutes. That sounds awful.
I'm trying. So if they're running a full mile, so these guys are pretty fast. If they're running 4 minutes, 30 seconds and chugging, are you chugging while you're running?
So there's a short distance where you pick up your beer on the table and then you kind of come up to the lap line and you have to have that beer drunk before you can cross that lap line.
Oh, okay. And then you smash the bottle on the ground. So people,
yes, behind you. That's right. To make it harder for each lap. It's kind of Mario Kart style.
Now it's not the beer Olympics. Now it's the beer Hunger Games.
Right. And you do it barefoot.
See, this is going to be a good event. So I'll start putting this together. And Ken's going to come back and be like, the fuck are you guys doing now? Like, we'll have, there'll be like, I don't know if they still make super soakers, but instead of being filled with water, they're filled with bleach. And you have people on the side, like, shooting them as you run by, shooting them at you. That
sounds dangerous. Wow.
Oh, that's mean.
Pretty smashing glass on the...
I see. Yeah. They're supposed to shoot the glass to sanitize it.
Oh, is that what... After you gotta wash the blood off. Right. Don't want the hepatitis going around. Yeah. Oh boy. Oh my god, I'm watching the video now. These are like serious. People are like hardcore about this.
Oh yeah.
These guys are fast.
They're true runners. And they get to drink a beer while they're doing
it. I totally expected to see guys in flannel with beards doing this.
So I have a friend that we did a 5K for one of the organizations that I am part of. And we're standing there chatting and he's like, oh yeah, like he was hung the fuck over. Like he looked like he was going to fall over. Smoking a cigarette. Like literally you could tell that he was hungover before the race, finishes second for the 5K and goes off to do his thing. I'm like, what the hell? Like if I could never run however 3.14 or whatever miles after being out all night with a hangover. Like I can barely make it to my kitchen, let alone maybe do a 5K afterward. But he was like,
the nearest toilet was 5K away, then maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I would be like looking for plastic bags on the side of the road. Yeah, right. I'm just saying. I'm like, what is going on? I'll never forget that. Like I'm talking to him. He was rough looking. He was like, oh, we went and did this last night. And then second place in the fucking 5K. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't even know. Like, I definitely couldn't do it. I'd be like, no, I'm not even going.
That was the one and only time I've ever done a 5K, and I was literally dead last. I was the last person that walked through that arch.
Yeah, I'd be there with you. I'm not running.
I used to regularly run the Flying Pig. I would do the half marathon version of that. It's in Cincinnati. Wonderful race. It starts right at the stadiums and goes through downtown and up and down all these hills and stuff because Cincinnati is very hilly. But my buddy and I would run it together. And our tradition was to go to Moorline Lager House the night before. And it's always the Kentucky Derby is always on the TV the night before. So we'd watch the Kentucky Derby, have a nice burger, and a couple of beers, and then, you know, have an early night. The last time we did it, I can't remember. It was one of the big beer. It was Coors or Busch or someone had sponsored it. And there were beers at the end. It was kind of nice. And they were very refreshing and they probably hydrated us because they're so, you know, wet.
That was whitewater rafting. They used to give you couldn't drink on the river in West Virginia, but they would give you a beer on the bus and it'd be like Keystone Light or, oh God, what's the one that I mean, Coors Light every now and then, but it was literally like Keystone. I can't remember what one my grandma's boyfriend used to drink, but it was never good beer, but it was the best beer you ever had after you'd been on that river all day.
Yes. Some of them just hit right like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Especially when it's hot.
And you have it like 2 days or like a month later or whatever, and you think, oh, that was the best beer I've ever had. And then you try it again, and you're like, that's horrible. Why did I drink that?
Yeah, every time. Like, I do that with PBR too. So, like, you know, there's days PBR tastes amazing because it's the right time, the right circumstance. And but if you just go to open one, you know, out of your fridge, it's like, oh, why am I drinking this? It's just, there's a lot of beers like that.
Yep.
See, now I love High Life no matter what. It's my guilty pleasure beer. Like,
I mean, it is a champagne of beers, so you're not really going wrong with that.
It is my bougie taste, I guess. I ordered it. My friend asked me to come with her to one of the dive bars in our area the other day, and I didn't even look. They had craft beer, but I didn't even look. I was like, hey, do you have Miller High Life? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I would like one of those. And she's like, oh, old school. I like it. I'm like, is it really old school? Apparently I dated myself by liking the High Life.
Do they still make MGD? I did like that one back in the day. I don't think they do. That was one of the
first beers I ever got drunk on.
MGD.
I did see, I was looking at the, because I wanted that PBR for the post that I was doing for the dinner, and they had an MGD. They must still sell it, but I don't think they sell it in the cases or six packs anymore. I think you can only get it in like the big cans.
Oh, the big cans. I was going to say, did they switch to 40s only?
Yeah. I stopped at the party store the other day, and I was really looking for champagne. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I love champagne still to this day. The pink one's my favorite, but I'll take the other ones. You still
make that?
You can still get it every now and then. You got to find the right store. You got to be in the right place. Let's put it that way. Yeah, there's a place by me that sells it, but they've been out of the pink for like 6 months, so I think I'm going to have to ask them to order it. Which I think is hilarious. But they had 40s. Go ahead.
Of course they had 40s.
I had to look this up because I couldn't remember the details. But so I visited a friend in Baltimore. Actually, I was there for work, but a friend happened to be there. I hung out with my friend. We did a beer trade and stuff. He took me to a place. He took me to Wet City Brewing, which apparently is home of Spaghetti, which is a High Life cocktail.
Oh, boy.
What?
Yeah, so let's see. It's called Spaghetti. It's a High Life. And what do they do? Aperol and lemon juice goes in it.
What?
I need to try this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got one. One of us at the table must have had one, and I'm sure we shared it. But yeah, it was good.
I need to have it just to say that I've had it, because I really am. Like, High Life is my like craft beer, not craft beer, my guilty beer of choice. If I'm going in and not getting a craft beer, I'm picking up a six pack of High Life.
Well, you could go to Baltimore and get Spaghetti from Wet City.
So, and Baltimore is on my list of places to go and do like a beer trip.
Baltimore? Why? What? I think of Baltimore and think about getting carjacked personally, but is there a big brewery scene?
If you Uber down, the problem.
So, well, Guinness has that factory there. So that would be cool to go to. I don't really know a lot about the beer scene there, but I have friends from Baltimore who are really into craft beer. So I'm sure that they would show me the right places to go. And I had a friend that was there for work, and she ended up at a speakeasy. And you know, I love shit like that. Like, it makes me work to get there, I'm going. So I love that kind of stuff. Like places nobody knows, or we found a speakeasy in Bardstown, Kentucky. And, you know, you go to the front door where the address is and you can't get in. So you got to go around the building and you got to like knock on the back door and they let you in and you have to go through like this space. It looked like you were going through a haunted house just to get to the bar. It was a little creepy. Like I thought somebody was going to jump out and scare me at one point.
But, you know, speakeasies are cool, but they're pretty popular these days. I don't feel like they're actually, you know, it's not like some hidden thing everyone knows. Like there's a speakeasy down the street from my house. I've been there once. You only know it's open if the red lights turn on, but then you go in there and there's a line. Like you have to stand in line to get your drink and then find somewhere to either stand or sit. And there's always like a million people there. Kind of lost its, you know, that good feeling that it had about being, it's, you know, like this hidden.
Well, yeah, it's such a good gimmick that everybody wants to go.
Yep, exactly.
That was like the time they put City Club in the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, when everyone showed up.
Do you remember that? No, they So they did an article on City Club in the Detroit Free Press, and I was
You're talking about when people didn't know about it.
Yeah, like when people didn't know about it and you had to like go through the swimming pool doors. That was awesome.
A long time ago. That was the swimming pool day was a long time ago.
I know. There's a parking lot there now. But
yeah.
So, and every time we go through the parking lot, I'm like, there used to be a swimming pool here. And people don't believe me. And I'm like, no, really, that's when I started going to see them.
You know what I actually miss about that is the parking garage across the street. That was the place to go beforehand because, and the security was even drinking there. And there was always like a line of liquor bottles on one of the beams. And there were probably 50 bottles sitting up there. Like it was insane. And then everyone would wander in at 1 a.m. already drunk. Like those were the days of going to City Club.
Yeah. You didn't go to City Club before midnight.
No, never.
They opened at like 10, but if you got there before midnight, you were like persona non grata.
And you'd be the only one in there. You'd be wandering around and there's like no one there.
There'd be a few college kids in there. Still the 18-year-olds that weren't allowed to drink yet.
Oh, yeah. They'd have the X's on their hands. You had to look for people that had the word of the night. It'd say ass fuck or something on your hand. It'd always be some derogatory word.
Yeah, or they do it backwards so that when you fell asleep, it'd be on your cheek the next morning. That happened to me a few times, not going to lie.
Yeah, see, Rob, you missed out on things like that. Yeah, that kind apparently. Of stuff doesn't exist there. I mean, City Club's still there, I believe, but nights, it's techno night. Like, they'll advertise when it's goth night. Like, everyone goes to Smalls these days for that kind of thing.
When I started going to City Club, they didn't play anything that was on the radio. So if you could hear it on the radio, they weren't playing it at City Club.
I'm pretty sure it's still like that there.
I don't know. There's a few things that I've heard now, but yeah, it was. Well, I haven't been there in a long time, so I can't really say that. But back in the day, towards the end, so there was like a 5 or 6 year gap where I didn't go from when I was in college to when my younger friends from the JCs started going, that they were like, oh, you got to go to this club. And I'm like, oh, I know that club. The first time I went there, like we walked in and we walked back to the dance floor and there was all these, like there were so many girls that had no shirt on, but just electric tape over their nipples.
Oh yeah.
And the crosses. And I was like, that's not my City Club. I've like walked back. I'm like, I just need to get a drink. So it's literally like two different clubs that I went to, like when I was in college and then when they were in college.
Well, to make it even better for you now, since you haven't been there in a while, me, Ken, and a mutual friend of ours went literally days before the pandemic started, before everything shut down. They have a DJ booth in the front now. Like just to the left. So if you're walking in, you know, the bar is on the left. Before that, that little space that's over there, they have a DJ booth there now. Mm-hmm. And then I believe they moved the DJ booth, if I remember, where that upper level used to be, that platform. I believe the DJ is over there now, at least when it's like electronic music, because that's what was playing back there. But there was playing the typical DJ City Club music up in front. Okay. Right by that. So it was pretty interesting. That's the last time I was there. So that was February of 2020. So
I met a, at one point you used to be able to sit at the bar at City Club.
Oh yeah.
And I was sitting at the bar one time and I met one of the Ramones.
Oh, that's cool as hell. I met the male singer of KMFDM in there once. He would always come in there after a show, or he had a side band too, and he would always be in there shirtless. And now he still looks the same. No. Like I just, yeah. So fun times, Rob. I'm sorry. You're like, what are these guys talking about right now? How does this work?
I get it.
I had a friend that it was like a Friday section that they used to have in the Detroit Free Press that they would like spotlight a local bar, and Leland City Club was in there. And then there was a bar that I used to go to called Crest Lounge and in Southwest Detroit that isn't there anymore. It's a car dealership now, but like every time I would talk about a bar, it would come up in that paper.
Oh, you were getting spied on.
And my friend was like, what the hell? Like, he's like, what are you doing that you're going to all these places? I'm like, I don't know. I just go out.
Yeah. That's pretty much when people say you want to go out, I usually say yes.
And then ask
questions later.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, yeah, where are we going?
Yeah, it's right. Time for an adventure.
I'm down for whatever. I'm a little older now and down for whatever, as long as I'm done by, 10 o'clock, I can
I go to bed. 10.
My friends are all also a little bit older. And so it's perfect. It all works out. We all agree on this stuff.
One of the girls at work one time, she's like, oh, let's go do a bar night. And we're like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And she goes, we can meet at the bar at like 9 o'clock. And we're like, 9 o'clock. No.
I'm still the guy that goes out at 11. Like, yeah, I'm going out. Like, let's go see what's up.
Oh, if I have people invite me to two different places at once, I'm not going. I used to go to like four or five different events in a night. Like, I would hit party after party after party. And now if I get three invites in one night, I'm like, can't do any of them. It's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are getting old, apparently.
Yeah.
I'll especially like, I work a weird schedule. I'm typically off on Thursday and Friday. And Thursday night, Wednesday night, I'm going out, but I'm leaving at like 11 o'clock, 10:30, and not coming back till probably 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. But that's the joy of being, divorced now. I can pretty much do whatever I want, and no one gets to say anything, so it's kind of nice.
True. What's really funny, though, is that I don't sleep very well at night, so I'm still up till 2 or 3 in the morning, so I don't know why I'm not just out doing stuff.
Oh, I'm the same way. Like, majority of the time I'll be home, and if I'm not working, I'm up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's ridiculous. Like, but I work a job where I have to get up at, like, 5:30, so it never works out the right way.
My friends and I were doing a vacation. We rented a place out in California. I'm East Coast, well, Eastern time at least. And it was my son's 21st birthday, so I couldn't go the first night that they were out there, which was just going to be a partial day anyway. And so I had a 6 a.m. flight to go out to California, which is kind of ideal when you're flying east to west, because then you have the full day there in California.
Right.
So it was great. And it was L.A., so it was a direct flight. It was just perfect. And I texted my friends as I was leaving for the airport at like 4 in the morning. I said, hey, I'm on my way. And they said, oh, we haven't gone to bed yet. And so yeah, they apparently did stay up pretty late for me.
Yeah, that's the joy of flying out west, because especially if they're from out there, like I always forget about that too. Like, Ken flew out. We went to Las Vegas years ago, and he flew out and got there at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that in the afternoon. And then he was ready for bed at like 9. I'm like, what are you talking about? Not even thinking about it. And he had been up since, like, he had went to the airport like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, oh, I've been up since this and this. And then of course he's up at like 5 in the morning, just like I was talking about here in Hawaii, playing blackjack. I'm like, yeah, I can tell you're from the eastern part of the country. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I just woke up. Like, it's like 9 o'clock. Yeah, he's down there drinking Bloody Marys. He's that guy. Oh, not Bloody Marys. He hates Bloody Marys, but drinking something at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
I don't like bloody Marys
either. It's 9 a.m. where I'm from. What's that? You don't?
I don't like Bloody Marys either, no.
What? Oh, you guys are missing out.
I don't like tomato juice.
Well, you add other things to the tomato juice, so it's not, it tastes, it doesn't taste.
It's still tomato juice.
Still tomato juice. With that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. It's been about 90 minutes. Get one last comment from you guys. Anything you want to talk about before we go?
I don't know if we still have Wendy. No, I've got nothing.
Did we lose Wendy? I didn't even notice. Anyways, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I forget what I was going to say. Jesus. Happy Friday. You know, time for me to get something more to drink, apparently. But as we end the show, I'll say what we always say, even without Ken. Whatever you think of your beer, it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Cheers.
Yeah.